There's too many young angels on the south side. Gotta scared to let our grandmamas outside. You gon' make me take the campus way downtown. You gon' make me turn my BM to my house wide. Had a growth spurt. It just took so long my tippy toes hurt. You can keep the nose ring. I don't have to soul search. I'm still at my old church. Only ever sold merch. Grandma say I'm kosher.
Yeah.
Mama say I'm kosher. GCI.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's two for Tuesday.
Yeah, man. Two for Tuesday. Yeah. Two for Tuesday.
And you can send in your requests. Text them in at 312-981-7200. 815 area code. Wanted to hear Chance the Rapper. That's Angels. And that's our first Two for Tuesday bump package. So get in here with them. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're here till 5 o'clock. Esmeralda and I are going to play another round of pop-up video. So everybody, including the feline population, will get to hear Esmeralda sing this morning, which is always very exciting. And you've been doing vocal exercises, right, Esmeralda?
Of course.
Yes, I don't.
That only cats can hear them.
Only cats can. Cats and Dave. They're the only people.
Right. Their ears are tingling.
That's right.
So they know something's going to happen later.
So that's coming up a little bit later on. Yeah. All right. So we want to talk about our favorite nerds, dorks, and geeks in pop culture. And Wonderwall put this up, and it's a good list. But I actually came up with a whole bunch. Dan, I was thinking about it, and I came up with, like, I made an alternate list of my own.
Exciting.
Some are real people who are nerds or geeks or dorks.
And this list includes real people as well.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And some are fictional. So I thought we could mix it up, and we can open up the phone lines. 312-981-7200. You remember when it wasn't cool to be a nerd, Dan?
Yes.
You have firsthand experience at that?
Yes.
What were you nerdy about? What made you nerdy?
Well, you know, it's funny because this ties into my answer. So I'll give my answer and then I'll give the explanation. So not to barrage Esmeralda anymore on this point, but it's Mitch from Real Genius, the film that we want her to watch. And I think I've told you this before, not to overstate it or make it overly dramatic, but that was kind of an important movie to me because I was a smart kid and that doesn't lend itself to having a lot of friends. And then I saw that movie and it said, like, hey, you can be smart, but you can have fun too and be funny and charismatic and goofy. And it's not all straight laced, you know, nose and books. And
right. That's
all you are and you're a nerd and that's all you can do. You can actually have fun and be smart and do cool things with your smartness. So,
you identify with Mitch.
I identified with Mitch, yeah. You know, and, you know, and in some ways I did have kind of a Val Kilmer friend who kind of brought me out of it and was mm-hmm. just like, hey, dude, let's have fun. So, you know, it's one of those things where, like, yes, I do remember when it wasn't cool to be geek because it wasn't cool. And
yeah.
I was part of that. And
it's now cool.
Yeah.
It's cool now, you know, for kids to be dorks and geeks, and that's cool. Man, I cannot believe I didn't write down Mitch or Chris from Real Genius. How did I not do that?
Well, you know.
It's like half the cast.
I mean, that's kind of the fun thing about this is, like, there are so many good answers. Like, well, I'll print it up the text here in a second, but Wild Bill has a fantastic one.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, Esmeralda, do you have any dorks or geeks that immediately come to mind in the world of pop culture, movies, and TV and stuff?
I immediately think of Revenge of the Nerds.
Yep.
And Booger.
Booger, yes.
Because he wasn't a smart nerd.
Right.
He really wasn't smart, which I'm wondering, like, how did he even get into that college?
Well, because he was an outcast. And, oh, no, I don't know how he got into the college. No, he was smart. Wasn't he smart?
Well, I don't really. Never. He
was just
never showed it.
I think, no, he was just a slob. I think he was smart. I think he was just a slob.
Really? Because they never showed him doing any sort of mathematical problems like everyone else.
They
was.
Just showed him picking his nose and burping.
Right.
That's pretty good.
But I like that he was just kind of like, whatever, man.
Yeah. Well, they've got Anthony Edwards and Robert Carradine on this list as the two main.
Yeah, they were fine, but
Gilbert
and kind
Lewis.
Of the. Oh, and that kid one. The kid. He's kind of.
Which kid?
Creepy nerd.
Which?
The kid. He was the little kid.
Okay.
In Revenge of the
Nerds. Yeah,
he's
okay.
A very smart little boy.
Right. Okay. All right. How about you, Vic? Any nerds come to mind?
I was away from the desk, so you may have already said it, but my favorite all-time geek in a Hollywood movie is the guy from 16 Candles, played by Anthony Michael Hall, but I don't remember his character name.
Farmer Ted was his.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Farmer, he
found his stride in that movie. He was, I thought, hilarious.
Well, they've got Anthony Michael Hall listed in several movies. They've got him for 16 Candles, and then for Brian in The Breakfast Club, and then he played Gary, one of the two nerds who created the Dream Girl with a computer in Weird Science. So, like, 3 years in a row, he played three major geek dorks in the John Hughes au revoir.
Yeah, I think he cornered the market on nerds back then in that era. I thought he was great.
By the way, he shows up in Live by Night, the Ben Affleck movie that nobody saw. And he is thickened.
Yeah, well, from what I read, and it may have been a tabloid magazine, didn't he kind of mess with the juice for a while? And he got pretty big.
He
and
did.
Then he stopped.
Yeah, but he's like, I mean, he was all big in this movie, Live by Night, and I recognized him right away because I love Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a surprise. I didn't expect Anthony Michael Hall to show up in this Ben Affleck gangster movie. I was like, wait, that's Anthony Michael Hall, and he's only in one scene.
See, I thought he was pretty good, too. Now, the way he turned in Johnny B. Goode, played a... Now, I know you probably don't like the movie, but it's funny how he was able to change from the nerd, you know, role to...
Like the football player, the star football player. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I hated that movie.
See, and who was Robert
Downey Jr.?
I thought he was funny in that movie.
Uma Thurman's first movie.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're on the list. Anthony Michael Hall has three entries here. And, of course, Jaleel White as Steve Urkel in Family Matters. He starred as super nerd Steve Urkel on Family Matters from 89 to 98. God, that show was on for 9 seasons. From his suspenders to his oversized glasses and to his high-pitched voice, his clumsiness and obsession with Laura, Urkel was the stereotypical geek in every sense of the word.
Although I felt they kind of got away from him for a bit.
What, didn't he become like Sergio or something? What was the...
Stefan Urkel.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Why would I know that?
No, but it seems he was just like, oh, let's just put him in there.
Well, that's not...
Because it's hilarious. But, you know, I remember a lot of the show... And it doesn't have anything to do with him.
Well, have you, Esmerella, have you seen the Key and Peele sketch?
Yes.
That's exactly what you're talking about.
Right, but no, I mean, they would just plop him in like, okay, he needs to be in here somewhere.
Right.
But I remember Family Matters. I remember a lot of it not relating to him.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly what the Key and Peele sketch is about. It's about Reginald Vell Johnson from the guy from Die Hard who eats Twinkies, comes in, starts screaming at the head writer because... They just keep using Urkel and forgetting what the show is actually about. Which, by the way, if you've not seen this Key and Peele sketch, all you have to do is just Google Key and Peele, Family Matters, and it's absolutely brilliant. It's hilarious, like virtually every single sketch that Key and Peele has ever done. But it goes into a territory at the end. Esmeralda, you can attest to this. It gets real weird and dark.
It gets real.
It just gets very, very real and weird at the end. And going down a path I didn't see coming at all, which is also true of many sketches that Key and Peele do. Because the very few people are able to do genuinely surprising sketch comedy, and Key and Peele can. They still can. So, but I just never watched the show. I don't know if it was you, Dan. Was it you who told me that he didn't live there?
Right. He's the next door neighbor.
See, now why did they let him in? That's the, I mean, what?
They left the door open. Even though the dad was a cop, you would think they would know to lock the door.
So because I thought he lived there and they had to put up with him because he was like a family member who lived there, knocking stuff over and pissing off the guy who eats Twinkies from Die Hard, which is essentially all he does. Oh, now they'll knock over a lamp and then the guy from Die Hard who eats Twinkies gets pissed off. That's essentially the entire show.
No, but I think they felt bad for him because I don't think his parents really cared about him.
I just don't know. Don't open the door. It's a real simple solution. If you don't want this idiot to come in the house and break stuff, don't let the idiot in. It's me, Urkel. All right, you stand out on the porch, pal, because you're not getting in the house. Break something in the yard, you moron. Never understood that. My mind was kind of blown when I found out that he didn't, because I never watched the show. I've never seen one episode of the show. And so when Dan told me, yeah, no, he doesn't live there. He's the neighbor. He's like a neighbor. And I'm like, what? Why? Do they allow him in if he continues to bust up stuff in the house and act like a jackass? Why? I thought they had, you know, a family obligation to this guy, but they don't. Idiots. All right, we got a few more here. Collective Soul Bill says, Weird Al. I'm not sure if he's a geek, a nerd, or whatever category. I've been a big fan of his since Dr. Weird Al is one of the greatest dorks and geeks that's ever lived. He absolutely. 815 area code says, how about the two guys from Weird Science? Yes. Jim in Carbondale, Arnold Stagg. Yes, one of the original dorks. All right. How about America Ferrera as Ugly Betty? She was a very popular geek. I thought that show was pretty funny. I was kind of surprised at how much I enjoyed that show. It's not really, you know, the world of fashion and stuff. I don't care about that, but I actually thought that show was pretty funny.
But it did appeal to 16-year-old girls, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. I just, you know.
No, I mean, that's why you liked it.
I
mean,
I see. All right, that's why I liked it. That's right.
Right.
Because of Felicity.
Do you get asked to sit in on TV show pitches? Like when they can't find a 16-year-old girl?
When they can't find a 16-year-old girl, they call me.
Yeah.
They call a 51-year-old male.
They go, that DeGilio.
Yeah, he'll like this. Hey, by the way, have you watched Riverdale?
No.
Have you?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I loved it. Are you aware of what it is?
Dark.
Esmeralda, yeah. Do you know what it is?
No, me and V were discussing it, and I didn't understand why they needed to even bring in the Archie bit.
I think it's cool, man.
But does it even, I mean, Archie is a fun time comic, and
no,
this
it's,
is like
no,
all weird and
no.
surreal.
Oh, yeah, it's all dark. It's like Twin Peaks, and if Riverdale took place in Twin Peaks, or if Riverdale
right,
was
so what's the point?
I think it's cool. I don't care.
What's the point of having these characters if it's not even the same character?
Oh, no. There
it's
are elements.
By name.
Elements. No. Elements of the characters are very, very similar. Very similar. And the dynamic between the Archie characters is there. It's just in a completely different world, and some of the behavior is a lot more extreme. But it's all of the stuff. The basis of what the Archie comics is about, the relationships between the characters and what the characters are actually like, that's all there. It's the blueprint for the show.
Meh.
I liked it. I thought it was good. Speaking of which, well, Thursday morning we'll talk with Dan Feinberg about it.
Does that guy keep his hat on the entire time?
You mean Jughead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do they call him Jughead in the show?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got more dorks and geeks and nerds to talk about. We would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. And this is your night on the shine bright. This for everybody. Prime night. It's all right. And it's okay. And we're all good. But we're homies. And he brought love. All right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DeGilio here. 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday continues. Yeah! 815 area code requested Chance the Rapper. That's Prom Night as 2 for Tuesday continues. All right, we're back. It's Nick DeGilio here, and we're talking about the best and most memorable dorks, nerds, and geeks in pop culture and discussing some of your favorites. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right, let me throw out my first choice. Dan, I believe you'll agree with me on this one. These are fictional. Op-Ed and Troy from Community.
Oh, yes.
Two of my favorite dorks and geeks ever. I mean, Op-Ed, please. But they're both geeks. Like, ultimate. Like, I can't believe they didn't make this list. Seriously. Because they are two of the most memorable geeks, in TV history. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I still say cool, cool, and sing Troy and Op-Ed in the morning.
God, did I love that show. That show was so great. Esmeralda, did you ever watch Community?
Oh, yeah.
God, I love that show.
No, it's so good. I say cool. By the way, it's four cools.
Yeah.
Cool. A cool story about Danny Pudi. Danny went to the same high school as my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law was a world-class Irish dancer. And Pootie would go to his competitions in 70s garb in a huge Afro wig. And, you know, these are like old Irish off the boat, you know, like very, very conservative people. And then my brother-in-law, Billy, would do his routine. He'd stand up on his chair and just start screaming and shouting with this huge Afro in 70s clothes and freak out everybody around him, and then just walk out.
He's the best, Danny Pootie. By the way, I got that new show on my DVR.
The Powerless.
Powerless. What do you think?
I'm interested. I mean, cautiously optimistic, but yeah. I'm not holding a lot of hope. So
I hope it's funny, man. I mean, it's got a good cast, and the idea is funny. For those of you who don't know, it's like an alternate. Is it Marvel? Or-
it is DC.
It's DC because Batman's or Batman's cousin.
Batman's cousin Van works at the office.
Van Wayne. Oh, man. And it's got Ron Funches in it, too, who I adore. He's a geek, too, Ron Funches. You know, like, I think almost every appearance that he's made, not every appearance, but the majority of appearances that Ron Funches has made on At Midnight, he's had wrestling shirts on, like a different pro wrestling shirt every time. Well, here you go. He's on the list. Speaking of At Midnight, Chris Hardwick. Chris Hardwick is like the ultimate nerd. Total nerd. I mean, his company is called Nerdist. So, let's see. Here's what they say about him. He's on the list, Chris Hardwick. In 2010, Chris Hardwick launched the Nerdist podcast, which eventually led to the creation of Nerdist Industries, the funny man's empire of podcasts, plus his website, premium YouTube channel, and game show At Midnight. Explains the Talking Dead host on his website, there are nerds and then there are nerdists. A nerdist is more specifically an artful nerd. He or she doesn't just consume, he or she creates and innovates. So he even created a word as Nerdist. They also have on the list the kids from Stranger Things. Of course, they are they're probably the hottest nerds right now of the past, you know, year. How about this one now, Esmeralda? You watched Buffy.
Yes.
Willow is on this list.
Oh yeah, huge nerd.
Allison Hannigan as Willow. Before she was one of the most powerful witches on the planet, Willow Rosenberg was your average run-of-the-mill, super smart but unpopular high school sophomore. Allison Hannigan starred as Buffy's bestie on Buffy the Vampire Slayer from 97 to 2003.
Even as a witch, she was still a nerd.
She was still a nerd witch?
There you go, nerd witch.
A nerd witch. They have, that's new at Burger King. I'm going to go have a nerd witch. here's a real-life nerd. See if you guys agree with me on this one. Esmeralda, Dan, see if you agree with me on this one. Kevin Smith. I think Kevin Smith is a very cool nerd. Would you agree with that, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, especially in that kind of being the guy, part of that wave that introduced pop culture into movies where movies talked about other movies.
Yeah.
You know, definitely.
Yeah. And even obviously he's a total Star Wars geek. You know, he played D&D. He has an encyclopedic knowledge of comic books. I think Kevin Smith is a nerd. Would you agree with that, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely forgot he was big into the Star Wars.
Oh. Oh, man. I mean, you've seen Clerks?
I'm part of it.
There's a huge monologue, a hilarious monologue. Dan, you'll agree with me on this, I think. About Return of the Jedi, and because in Return of the Jedi they're constructing a new Death Star, so they have a conversation in Clerks about the contractors and the guys who are working on the Death Star and how much it must have cost and how many people were killed because they were just construction guys and contractors working on a Death Star, and they lose their families, lose them, and they love. It's like, it's this hilarious monologue about the logistics of building a new Death Star and how many innocent lives were lost. And I'll tell you, one of the funniest bits ever is in Clerks 2 when Randall explains why he hates the Lord of the Rings movies. It's 3 3-hour movies about people walking. All they do is walk. And then he says, even the effing trees walk in this movie. So, yeah, Kevin Smith, nerd. All right, 312-981-7200. The news is up next, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more nerds. 312-981-7200 on WGN. And I was born a rambling man. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude here on GN every weekday morning, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. It's 2 for Tuesday.
Yeah!
And 847 area code requested the Allman Brothers and Ramblin' Man. And the Allman Brothers Band, I believe this person probably requested this, Dan, because the original drummer from the Allman Brothers Band died last week.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Hey, welcome back. We're talking about famous dorks, geeks, and nerds in pop culture. And I've compiled a list of my own, both fictional and real. And I've got a list here also from Wonderwall. And if you want to see the explanation and the piece that we have, it's on our Facebook page, which is another reason why you should like us on Facebook. That's only on the Facebook page. So go to Facebook.com/NickDShow to read the whole article. Let's talk to Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, Esmeralda.
Hey.
All right. I was sitting here thinking and thinking and thinking. And one that comes to mind is George McFly.
Yeah.
Of course, prior to his future son saving him, but
yes.
George McFly is the ultimate dork.
It's a total dork. And even Marty, to a certain extent. Even Marty's a dork.
Even to a certain extent, but he's a smart dork.
He is. And so, I mean, and you know what? Christopher Lloyd, Doc Brown, nerd.
Oh, God, yeah.
Total nerd.
Absolute nerd.
Yeah.
Super nerd.
Yeah.
Super nerd.
Yeah.
Man. Hey, I tried to call you a few weeks back. Remember you were talking about Hugh Grant getting snubbed from the Oscars?
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if they saw a little cult film he did with Doctor Who called Lair of the White Worm.
Oh.
The guy that plays Doctor Who, current Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I wonder if they saw that and that's why they snubbed
him. Yeah, go Lair of the White Worm. Way to bring that one up, Patrick, from the past. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, Patrick. Are you aware of what's happening on Svengoolie for February?
No, I don't. I usually get his newsletter. I haven't received it yet.
Okay, Patrick, prepare to I hope you're seated, because all of February, every Saturday night on Svengoolie is a Godzilla movie.
Now, I could have just saved myself the trouble. I rented about five of them from the library this weekend.
Well, it's still, but you still get the unique experience of Rich doing his shtick around the Godzilla movie.
Yes.
So
Ben's around.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So we're trying to get Rich. We're trying to get Rich on the show to talk about it, to plug it. But it starts this Saturday night. It's four Godzilla movies throughout all four Saturdays for February, Godzilla month.
Oh, my wife is going to hate me. She's just going to hate me. I sat Sunday. I watched the 1954 Godzilla. She's like, what are you watching? Godzilla. I hate Godzilla. But I like it. She's like, well, I don't like it.
Well, babe, I think that's grounds for divorce. But that's just me.
Well, she hasn't divorced. Well, I'll tell you this much. I married her, right? In 2001, we got married. October. Football season comes around January. She comes up to me. You know, babe, by the way, I've always been a Packers fan.
Oh, man. Wow. I mean,
it's going on 16 years of marriage.
There you go. Well, it works out.
I haven't divorced her. She hasn't kicked me out. She hasn't thrown me through a window yet.
That's right.
I mean, we're hanging in there.
Sounds
good.
Sounds good. All right, Patrick. Thanks, man.
Yeah. If you don't mind, one more thing. I might not be able to call you Friday for a Fly Jam, but I was thinking, what if you, Fly Jam Bob, and Mike got together, did a special segment of the three of you discussing Fly Jams? I mean, all seriously, you guys got like this encyclopedic knowledge of every artist that do for Fly Jams for Fly Jam Friday. It's amazing. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, I love. Well, those guys call in every week anyway, Patrick. You know, so
I think that would be great. Just you guys just take like a little segment, the three of you, and just play Fly Jams and discuss little facts about each of the artists that do it. It'd be awesome.
All right, very cool. All right, Patrick, thanks, man.
All right, thanks. Have a great day.
All right. George McFly was his original. Okay, I have another real-world nerd who I adore, Patton Oswalt. Patton Oswalt is a true nerd, and admittedly so. And he's brilliant and hilarious, and I think he's one of the coolest nerds on the planet. All right, how about, to me, an obvious one, I've got two here from The Simpsons. Well, actually, three. I got three from The Simpsons. Three from The Simpsons. Who do you think, Dan, Esmeralda? Who do you think?
Professor Frink.
Oh no, I didn't have him. Oh, that really? Okay. So that's four. Okay, yes, Professor Frink, obviously named Ralph. After the Nutty Professor. Okay.
Lisa.
You said wait. Did you say Ralph?
Yes.
I didn't have Ralph either.
What?
Ralph, I don't think Ralph is a nerd. He's just really dumb.
You choose me.
And you said Lisa?
Lisa.
Absolutely.
And then Milhouse.
Oh, wait, who's the other one?
I didn't have Milhouse either.
Oh, what's his name? Excelsior.
Martin.
There you go.
That's who I've got. So I had Lisa Simpson, Martin Prince, and comic book guy.
I am.
But Professor Frink, boy, that show is full of nerds.
There's that friend,
well, wait a minute,
too.
Ned Flanders. Ned Flanders and his two kids.
Yeah, are they?
They're nerds.
There's that one kid with the dark hair, and he goes, "Dah."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that show is full
it's
of nerds.
Generic nerd.
That's right. I could, I guess you could write like 30 characters from The Simpsons fall under the category of nerd. And Esmeralda, you know that The Simpsons has the most left-handed characters in television history.
Is it? Why would they have a leftorium if they didn't have enough people who are left-handed?
Matt Groening is left-handed.
Oh.
And so is James L. Brooks. So they were like, yeah. We're just going to have a bunch of left-handed people. I think it's Bart who's left-handed and Lisa who's right-handed, I think. But there are a lot of other left-handed characters, not just Ned Flanders, but there are a lot of other left-handed characters on the show. And they did that specifically. A lot of people started, it got to the point, the show was on for a few years and people were starting to notice that they were, a lot of left-handed characters, myself being one of them, because I always notice when someone's left-handed, and it bothers the hell out of like every wife or girlfriend I've ever had. If we're watching TV or a movie or something, and somebody does something with their left hand or writes with left hand, I go lefty. I spot a lefty every single time. We got to stick together. Us lefties got to stick together. Like if a waiter or waitress is at a restaurant and they come up to me and they start to write down the order, I go, "You're a lefty." But there's a bond that us lefties have when we acknowledge other lefties. Because the world was made for right-handed people. It's unfair. Damn it.
Get used to it.
I'm 51. I'm used to it. Trust me. You know the story about the teacher when I was in first grade would slap the chalk out of my hand?
Right. Yeah.
Because she was like 75 years old and this was in like 1971. So she was born in the late 1800s and still thought that left-handed people were the devil. So she kept slapping the chalk out of my hand and putting it in my right hand.
I'm amazed that she kept you in the classroom.
Well, my mom had to come to school. My mom had to come to school and meet with the principal and the teacher and go, "You know what? My son is left-handed. He's not a witch. This is not the Salem trials. He just happens to write with his left hand." And I tell that story, and I've told it a bunch of times, and then it's amazing how many people who are around my age and even a little bit younger who've had the same experience. And this wasn't like a Catholic school where, they think you're the devil if you fart. This was a Chicago public school. This was a public school. The teacher slapping my hand around. But she's probably like 75 years old. At that point, she was really old and on the verge of retirement, I would imagine, or past retirement. She was 75. And like I said, this was 1971. So she's born in the late 1800s. She thought all left-handed kids were the devil.
So anyway.
Yeah. So the Simpsons, very, very, very lefty friendly. All right. How about this one? Fez from That 70s Show.
Oh, yeah.
He's a dork, right?
Yeah.
Vilmer Vrilmbadoomba? What's his Vilmer Slurmbadurkadurky? Vilmer Durgadurgu? What's his name? He was Lohan. He was Mr. Lohan for a while. He was dating Lohan when she was at her hottest. Vilmer Verkaduki?
Vilmer Vanderama.
Is that one?
That's going to let him keep going.
Yeah, that guy's a dork, right? Fez? Wouldn't he fit into that category?
Sure.
All right. I got three from one show. Frasier, Niles, and Lilith. That's got to be, right? They're nerds.
Yeah.
Who would be the nerdiest of those three? Would it be Lilith or Niles? I don't think it's Frasier. He's a nerd.
I'd go with Niles.
I would go Niles.
I'd go Niles, too. All right. How about Dexter from Dexter's Laboratory? Is that a good... That's a nerd, right?
Yes. I thought you meant Dexter, the TV show.
Yeah. He's a nerdy killer. He's a nerdy serial killer. After he murders a bunch of people, he goes home and plays video games. No, from Dexter's Laboratory, the little animated show. How about the brain from Pinky and the Brain? I was thinking on that, too. That'd be a nerd, right?
Yeah.
Of the three Powerpuff Girls, Bubbles would be the nerd. I would have to pick her. And the professor who created the Powerpuff Girls, he's a nerd. So,
I'd also, is he? He seems very suave.
Oh, he's a nerd. He's like a handsome, square-jawed, you know, deep-voiced guy, but he's a total nerd. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, the creators of that show, I read this somewhere, the visual of the professor that created the Powerpuff Girls was inspired by Lyle Waggoner. Now, you guys probably don't know who Lyle Waggoner is. Look him up, Esmeralda. Lyle Waggoner. He was a regular on the Carol Burnett Show. He was a staple on stage and on variety shows and stuff in the 70s. And from what I understand, Craig McCracken, the guy who created the Powerpuff Girls, said he was inspired for the look of the professor by Lyle Waggoner.
There's a lot of pictures of him with no clothes on.
What? What?
I just went to Google Images.
What? Wait a minute. No. That's got to be wrong.
No, it's like an old picture.
With no clothes on?
Yeah, he's just hanging out on a chair, hanging out.
Wait. There are nude photos of Lyle Waggoner on Google.
Well, he's, you know, covered, but...
Oh, all right.
But you know,
see,
what I mean.
I thought there were, like flat-out nude photos of Lyle. What?
He's crossed his legs.
All right. Are there any pictures of him, like, in clothes, like on the Carol Burnett Show?
Oh.
I mean... So,
yeah, I see. Yeah.
Can you see the resemblance?
Yes. Oh, okay. In that one, yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe there are nude photos of Lyle Waggoner on the internet.
There's a few of him just with no shirt on and hanging out. Just, what is going on?
Oh, man. I didn't expect you searching Lyle Waggoner at work would cause problems with HR. I didn't think that was going to be an issue. I thought it was pretty safe to do an image search of Lyle Waggoner. What the hell is going on? All right, we got a break. We're talking about great nerds and dorks and geeks, and we've got a bunch of texts coming in. If you want to call us, it's 312-981-7200. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran with Morning Drive at 6. And 847 area code requested Allman Brothers as part of their twofer, straight from the heart. Two for Tuesday, yeah! 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That's also for text and talk if you want to contribute to our conversation. We're talking about some of the best and most famous dorks, nerds, and geeks in pop culture and in the real world, where it's become cool to be a dork. It's become cool to be a nerd. And, you know, after years of being persecuted, the nerds are finally on top. So there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up after the 4:30 news, Esmeralda and I will... go head-to-head again in another battle for supremacy of pop-up video. And Skip Skipley will be returning. Has the carrier pigeon arrived yet, Dan?
It has.
Uh-oh, what does it say?
It said, I'm on my way. I was kind of hoping for more, too.
It was very cryptic. I don't know.
I was expecting, like, I mean, you know, with his world adventure, something.
But something. But now I guess we'll have to wait till Skip gets here.
Way.
We'll have to wait till Skip gets here. You've seen Top Secret, Dan?
A long time ago.
There's a, because that movie, it's the Zucker Brothers, Guys Who Date Airplane, Police Squad. I like it. I actually think it's funnier than Airplane. I think Top Secret is funnier and weirder and crazier than Airplane, and it makes me laugh. And Peter Cushing's in it. But they had a psych gag in there where they were like, they were sending carrier pigeons back and forth, and a carrier pigeon shows up and it's got like a little uniform on and an old school like leather helmet with goggles.
That's awesome.
Ridiculous. All right, 312-981-7200. We've got texts coming in. Pete says Flounder from Animal House is a dork. Yeah. What did they call it? Tom Hulson, what they were referred to when they came to the first Rush House. They came in and they referred to him. Babs referred to him as a wimp and a blimp. That was Tom Hulson, Stephen first. Let's see. 309 area code says Terry the Toad from American Graffiti. Oh, man, classic. Charles Martin Smith. Charles Martin Smith, one of the ultimate nerds ever from American Graffiti, Terry the Toad. That's a great one. 262 area code says, my favorite nerd was Dr. Smith from Lost in Space. He was a villain, too. Do you know that he was originally, Dr. Smith was originally just supposed to be kind of a straight villain. He was supposed to be sabotaging everything that the family did. But then, like, he started to play it so over the top that they just let him go, and the show got completely ridiculous. It said, oh no, not me, take the boy. And he'd scream at the robot, you useless bag of bolts. Oh no, the pain. Like, what? He was awesome, though, Dr. Smith. Harold says, Barney Fife, yes, from Andy Griffith. Screech from Saved by the Bell, of course, on the list. Let's see. And Arnie Cunningham from Christine. Oh, yeah, but, you know, once the possessed car gets to him, he's not a dork or a nerd anymore, baby. Keith Gordon gets rid of those glasses and the pen protector, puts on a leather jacket, starts killing people with the car. Wild Bill. Oh, this is a good one. Les Nessman from WKRP. Is that who you're talking about, Dan?
I was going for the other one.
The other one? Okay, Bull on Night Court. That's a great one. Richard Mall. 224 area code, Carlton from The Fresh Prince. Yeah, major nerd. Ron says, The Big Bang, everyone on that show except Penny are nerds. They made the list, too. So did the entire cast of Freaks and Geeks made this list. Carrie says, don't you think that every male character in the Peanuts were geeks or dorks? Yeah. You know what? I think they were. Yeah. Were they? I think so.
Yeah, they would grow up to be nerds.
Yeah, of course they would.
I imagine.
Although Schroeder, we could play some kick-ass keys.
He's still a nerd.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. He's all introverted. Wants to play his piano and that's it.